Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Just want to read one verse to. I'm not going to preach from this verse, but it's the verse that we want to take our thought from. And that's Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That phrase, "everything and everything by prayer," is the thought that we want to take this evening. Prayer is to be about everything. Even about those things that we know we're to do. It's not that we pray that whether or not we should do them, but in everything by prayer. In other words, human skill, human ingenuity, and a lifetime of experience cannot replace going to God in prayer. In Proverbs 3, I believe we have the same thought presented. Solomon's in verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways," which is the same as in everything, "in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." There's really too much at stake not to pray about everything. In this message, we want to refer to a couple of Old Testament examples in the life of David of times when. We want to look at one time in particular when David did not pray, or there's no record that he did. It's pretty obvious that he didn't. And of times when we are specifically told that he did seek the Lord in prayer. And notice the difference between the two. So I want to speak this evening on the results of not praying and the results of praying. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, 1 Samuel chapter 27, in chapter 26, David had spared the life of his arch enemy Saul. And David and Saul would go their separate ways. We read in the latter part of verse 25 of chapter 26, "And David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place." So they went their separate ways. And somewhere along the line, David began to take stock of a situation, at least of how he perceived his situation. He considered, no doubt, the past and how Saul would say one thing and then say he wasn't going to pursue David anymore, and then a little while later, here he comes again. No doubt he reviewed the past. He began to dwell upon the inconsistencies of Saul. He began to dwell upon the treachery and the deceit of Saul. And things began to appear very gloomy to David. And from there, he made a false assumption. Notice in 1 Samuel 27, in verse 1, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Now that assumption goes against everything that God says. It goes against everything that God has told David. So this is an assumption that has its basis in unbelief. But that's the assumption. That's his reasoning. I know Saul has gone his way, but he's going to come back, and I know eventually that Saul's going to kill me. So he began to think a little further. He began to build upon this false assumption. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Now the truth is that Saul would never pursue David again. They went their separate ways in 1 Samuel 26 and 25. And Saul would never pursue David again. Notice in verse 4 of chapter 27, and was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. Saul never again pursued David. So Saul acts upon his assumption. He acts upon his human reasoning, and he begins to say, there's nothing better for me to do than to go down into the land of the Philistines, to go down and to live amongst the enemies of God. Verse 2, David now acts upon his assumption. It's one thing to have an assumption, it's another, when you act on it, now you're really in trouble. Best thing to do is not even have the assumption. But verse 2, and David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. So he took matters, he made an assumption, and he took matters into his own hands. He never inquired of God. He never asked God, should I go down into the land of the Philistines? He acted upon a false assumption, and the results were disastrous. All David wanted was relief, but he did not seek the Lord, at least at this stage in his life. He did not seek the Lord for that relief. So what does he do? He goes over to the Lord's enemies. He that killed Goliath now sought refuge in Gath, which is Goliath's land. What a sad, sad picture. He who smote the Philistines is now going to go down, and he's going to trust the Philistines. He who had been Israel's champion would now become the servant to Achish. Notice verse 5. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. And then notice, for why should thy servant, here is the man of God, referring to himself as the servant of an ungodly, vile, wicked king. Where did it begin? And David said in his heart. That's where it began. It didn't begin with David going down into the land of the Philistines. It began with David saying in his heart. David reasoning in his heart. And again, I remind you that David's reasoning had its basis upon unbelief. So there he is down in the land of the Philistines, calling himself the servant of the king of Achish. But worse than that, he's on the verge of even a greater sin. He's on the verge of fighting against the Lord's people. You can read what takes place in chapter 27 on your own, but in chapter 28, verses 1 and verse 2, it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. Where's David? He's with the Philistines. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. David was on the verge of fighting against God's people. David was wrong in seeking protection from Saul in the land of the Philistines. He was wrong to go there. And now the king of Gath requires service of David. And it would be a service that would be against the very people of God. Now people will argue, well, David had no intention of fighting against Israel. And that may be so. The point is this. God intervened. You read chapter 28. And God miraculously intervened and prevented David from fighting against Israel. But that was to no credit to David. I don't know what David might have done. But God intervened. And that was an act of mercy on God's part. But keep in mind where it all started. And David said in his heart. That's where it all started. Now you remember back in chapter 27, we read there in verse 5 that David asked for a city. And Achish gave him the city of Ziklag. And in verse 7 we're told that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines a full year and 4 months. For 16 months. David is living amongst the enemies of God. And it began with David said in his heart. David didn't get here by praying. He got here by communing and by reasoning with his own heart. And then we go over to chapter 30. Chapter 30. It came to pass, and David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. So David and his men return home, what they now consider home. And you get the picture. There's rubbish everywhere. There's smoke. There's fire. Everything is burned. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Everything is gone. And where did it begin? And David said in his heart. That's where it began. That is the truth that we cannot get away from. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now back in chapter 27 and verse 3, we read that David had taken his two wives with him. Now here in chapter 30 and verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Everything's gone. And then we read, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Again, I remind you, and David said in his heart. That's where it began. The next step was he moved to the land of the enemy. And here's where we find him now. But then we read, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now there's a lot there. First of all, you cannot encourage yourself in God if you're not right with God. And up to this point, David is not right with God. So to me, when it says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord, that means a lot of things. He confessed his sin. He repented. He got right. And then he was able to find encouragement in God. And then notice the next thing. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord. David prayed. He should have done that back in chapter 27. But thank God he did it now. And notice what he prayed. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I go after the ones that have taken our wives and our children? And everyone would reason, well, of course, David. But don't you see? David has learned his lesson. In everything by prayer. And I believe that if God had told David right then and there, no, they're gone, forget about it, David would have obeyed. But he prayed. Again, human reason tells you, of course, you go after them. But you pray about it anyway. No matter what human reason tells you, you pray about it. And David sought the Lord. He said, shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. David prayed. God told David what to do. God assured David that he would be victorious. And we see that David and his 600 men that were with him, they pursued, and we see that they recovered everything. The point is, David got in this mess because he didn't seek God. And he got out of it because he did seek the Lord. There's a lesson to be learned. But again, don't ever forget where it began. David said in his heart. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. In verse 17 through verse 21. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, and all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord. He prayed, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as a breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim, and they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Now notice the circumstance in verse 18. The Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. The Philistines, of course, are the enemies of God's people. They were numerous. They were powerful. They were a constant and resolute enemy to Israel. And shortly after David was anointed king in Jerusalem, these Philistines, with all their might and with all their hatred, spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. No doubt this was a fearful sight, because the valley of Rephaim was just but a short distance from the capital, Jerusalem. And no doubt the Philistines wanted to establish themselves there before David had time to fortify that area. So they began to spread themselves in the valley. Verse 19 records the reaction of David. The human reaction would be, "I'm going to take care of this. There's the enemies. They're getting closer and closer to our doorstep. We've got to act. We've got to act right now. Let's go after them." But David didn't do that. We read instead in verse 19, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines?" Shall I go against these Philistines? So David's reaction is, he prayed. He went to God. He turned to the Lord. He took a lowly place and he recognized his dependence upon the Lord. He's seeking the Lord's guidance. He's seeking the Lord's direction. And this was David's first response to these circumstances. And that should always be our first response. We've already seen what happens if it's not your first response. Ziklag can be burned with fire. But this was his first response. In everything by prayer. That is, in every single circumstance. No matter if you think you know what you ought to do, pray. You ask God what he would have you to do. "Well, I already know what God wants me to do." You go to God and you pray. And that's what David did. And God answered David's prayer. David's prayer was, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" That is, "Lord, what do you want me to do under these circumstances? What is it that you want me to do?" You see, so many times God's people take matters into their own hands. And then when that doesn't work, and when it turns to a complete disaster, then they pray. But I'm telling you, you could save yourself a lot of disasters. You could save yourself a lot of trouble if you just pray at the beginning. And David did that here. He didn't do it back in 1 Samuel chapter 27. So David begins to pray. "Lord, the Philistines, they're gathering at our doorstep. I need you, Lord, to show me what to do. And then he sought the Lord's blessing. There in verse 19, he said, "Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" David knew that everything depended upon God. He said, "Lord, wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" The Lord instructed David, verse 19, "And the Lord said unto David, Go up." David, go. "Drive out the Philistines, David." And he gives him assurance, "For I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. You have the assurance that I will be with you. Now go." And David would have been wrong if he didn't go at this point. What's the sense in praying? God gives you an answer and then you turn around and do just the opposite. That doesn't make any sense at all. If you're going to take the time to pray, then take the time to listen to what God says. So, God says, go. And we see that David, in verse 20, he went, he smote the Philistines. The Lord had given them great victory. They burnt all their images. But my point is, David prayed. Now notice, verse 22, "And the Philistines came yet up again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." There's no difference between verse 18 and verse 22. The circumstances are the same. You ever notice that circumstances do have a way of repeating themselves? What happens to you one time may happen again. And it may happen in the exact same way. What is going to be our reaction? David did not think, "Well, the last time I was in these circumstances, God told me to go and to just wipe out the Philistines. So I'll just go and do that again." That's wrong. We read here, verse 23, "And when David inquired of the Lord," and he asked the same thing again. He just said, "Lord, shall I go? What would you have me to do?" David did not reason. The last time I was in these circumstances, God said to go, and there was great success, so that's what I'm going to do this time. God wants you to pray. God wants you to pray. Just because the circumstances are the same, just because the circumstances appear the same, does not mean that God wants you to do the same thing that He had you do last time. Oh, that God's people would learn this lesson. To just pray. To pray about everything. Do not assume that because circumstances are the same as before, you are to do the whatever God led you to do before. Remember, God has a lot of ways of accomplishing His will. And He's going to accomplish His will His way. And the best thing for you and I to do is to seek the Lord under all circumstances. Seek the Lord. And circumstances may just appear to be identical to human sight. Keep in mind, you don't see the whole picture, even though you think you do. Only God sees the whole picture. Only God sees the end from the beginning. You don't know the whole situation. None of us do. Oh, We think we do, but you don't. So the wise thing to do is to pray about everything. Many times, just every week, pastors call, share some problems, and I tell every one of them the same thing over and over and over and over again. Pray about it. And say, well, I had those exact same circumstances, and here's what I did. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. You pray what God would have you to do. Because let me tell you this. A pastor can wreck a church quicker than anybody by simply not praying, by simply reacting just having a knee-jerk reaction. A pastor can ruin a church quicker than some backslidden individual sitting in a pew. He'd better pray. And God's people ought to trust that He is praying and that He will act in God's time. Well, Pastor, last time this happened, we disciplined them in 3 days. And now it's been 2 weeks or 6 months or whatever. What's your point? What's your point? Circumstances do not dictate what we do. We go to God, we pray, and God says, it's time, and you move. And if a pastor doesn't do that, I guarantee you he will destroy the church. I remember we had some individuals in Streamwood. Oh, I wanted to discipline them so bad. I wanted them gone. I wanted them gone long, long, long gone. And every week, I would determine in my own heart, we are going to get rid of these people. And every week, God would say, you just wait. You just wait. I had a list a mile long in each one of them for reasons, for discipline. And God just kept saying, you just wait. You just wait. You just wait. To this day, I don't know why God said wait. But I'll never forget it. I woke up on a Wednesday morning. And we didn't have any scheduled business meetings. I woke up a Wednesday morning and the Lord said, this is the day. Tonight, you bring every one of them up. And I knew. Right then and there. And I prayed, Lord, do you want me to call them and let them know? And He said, call them. So I did. And that night, we disciplined every one of them. What a business meeting that was. But my point is this. You wait upon the Lord. I don't care who you are. Whether you're a pastor, no matter who you are, you'd better wait upon God. But especially, pastors, wait upon the Lord. And notice what God said. Thou shalt not go up. Same exact circumstances. God says in one, go. And the very exact same circumstances says, no. You say, oh, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense to you. You just trust God. You just pray, you just trust God. Last week I talked to Amanda. She had a problem about something and she wanted advice. I said, Amanda, pray. You just pray. And God will show you and God will tell you what you ought to do. I knew what she ought to do, but I wasn't going to tell her that. You pray. And God will let you know. And I believe that. with all of my heart. And that's what I tell pastors all the time. You pray. Pray, pray, pray. When God says move, you move. When God says stop, you stop. But he inquired of the Lord, and God said, thou shalt not go up. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then, not until then, in other words, you wait there. And I don't know how long they waited there. But he said, you go down to the mulberry trees and you just wait until you hear the sound, the wind. Then thou shalt bestir thyself. And then notice what it says. For then, not before then, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. You wait until I say move, and then I will be with you. I'm telling you, you can do the right thing at the wrong time and wreck a church, wreck a home. Then I will go with you. Then, once I tell you to move, it's then that's the time to act. Now, we can't be slow. When God says act, you better act. When God says wait, you better wait. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him and smote the Philistine. So you see, the results of not praying, just reasoning in our own minds, proves to be disastrous. We can all go to times in our lives when we did not pray and we took matters into our own hands, and the results were disastrous. We need to learn from those times. But I think this is a wonderful passage in 2 Samuel 5 because you have identical circumstances. And yet God told David to do two different things. And David got the victory both times because he did it God's way. He listened to what God had to say. Again, back in the beginning of the message, in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. Everything. I remember the first 5 years I pastored, I don't think I did a whole lot of praying. Looking back, I did a lot of reacting. The situations. Wish I could do it over again, those 5 years, but I can't, of course. But I did a lot of reacting. And the Lord led me to Faith in Streamwood, which was our home church that we were out of. And when we got there, unbeknownst to us, the church was a mess. Women were speaking out in business meetings. And it was a mess. A big mess. And my first thought was, I remember the first Sunday evening, we're going to have prayer band tonight, right, Pastor? And I said, yeah, we'll have prayer band, just so, you know, they always did. We get there and all the men and women are sitting in a circle, ready to pray together. I said, no, we'll have the men go in one room and the women in another. That was the first inkling of problems. Well, my first reaction in my mind was, we got to clear this mess up. And it was then I began to learn. God said, you just slow down and you just wait on me. And from that point on, I have been trying. Been 30 years ago. I have been trying to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Do I? Of course not. But that is my, I strive to do that. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. And what I told Amanda the other day is when the Lord gives you the answer, because she said, well, how will I know? And I said, Amanda, when the Lord gives you the answer, you will know. That's all I can say. You will know. And I just wish that God's people knew that. That they were so used to praying that they just, you just know. When God says it's time, you just know. When God says this is what I want you to do, you just know. You don't have all these signs and all these other things. You just know. You know because God has spoken. And that is the relationship that we need to have with the Lord. About every circumstance in our life, that we go to God in prayer and we wait for His answer. And He will answer. And that needs to be our first reaction to everything. How much better off we would be, all of us, if when someone mistreats us or does something, we immediately just begin praying for them. We'd be a lot better off. That'd get rid of a lot of ill feelings and a lot of bitterness if we just pray for them right there. As soon as we hear something, then we just pray. And we just take it to God in prayer. You can seek all these signs and everything. You know, when you think about it, when David went down to the land of the Philistines, Saul sought him no more, David might begin to think, hey, this worked. It had nothing to do with David going down to the Philistines. Saul was done pursuing David. David didn't have to do that. And if he would have prayed, God wouldn't have told him, go down into the land of the Philistines. We'd avoid a lot of trouble if we just pray. And we all, David said in his heart, we all do that. We go home and we begin to think things in our heart and we begin to react. And I guarantee you, you're going to do the wrong thing. And unless God intervenes, it could be destructive. So pray. The most dangerous thing in a church is not the outside world. One of the most dangerous things is God's people not praying. God's people not taking things to the Lord. That's the most dangerous thing. That will ruin a church quicker than anything. When you try to start figuring it all out, we as a body of Christ need together to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Everything. Every single thing. No matter if it's happened in the past and God had you do the same thing 20 times in a row, that doesn't mean He's going to have you do the same thing the 21st time. Doesn't mean that. Don't assume that. You just go to God, you pray, and you trust Him. Oh, that God would help us to do that. Brother Larry, if you'd come.